Welcome back to Word and Table, a weekly podcast on liturgy, sacrament, and the great tradition of Christian worship and why it is vital in our world today. I'm your host, Alex Wilgus, and I am here, as always, with Father Stephen Gauthier. Welcome back, Father Stephen.
Great to be back, Alex.
Father Stephen is the canon theologian of the Diocese of the Upper Midwest in the Anglican Church in North America, and he is director of formation at St. Paul's House of Formation in the Greenhouse Movement. Father Stephen, today we are talking about holiness, and that word holy is something that is very familiar to anyone who has grown up in church or who has read the Bible, even in a shallow way. The term just comes up all the time. It's often used to describe, I think, even in a kind of a pejorative way, what religious people or Christians maybe imagine themselves to be, even when they're not. It's like, oh, holier than thou. A lot of people have heard that. But I wanted to start with holiness and first of all, I get the sense that, like a lot of things, we might be a little less familiar with what the word holy actually means. But I also want to get into, you know, what is making holiness our goal as Christians actually mean? So maybe we can just begin with, what is holiness? What is that word? Let's define that word, and then we can move on and talk about how it affects our lives.
Sounds good. Like, it seems to me the best way to look at, remember when we have in Isaiah 6, when Isaiah sees God, you know, we have this vision of God, and those who are close to God in the angelic court, heavenly court, what are they saying? They're saying, holy, holy, holy. And that gives it the whole idea. Have you ever had something you say, boy, I wish I had a word to describe this?
Yeah.
Say,
yeah.
I bet the Germans have a word for this, right? That kind of thing. There must be a word to describe something which is unique and otherwise indescribable. No adjective seems to fit. That's what holy is.
Yeah.
It means unique to God. It's the kadosh in Hebrew, you know, it's we have agios in Greek. From the Hebrew, it means the unique qualities of God. Only God is holy, as the hymn says. Holy, holy, holy. Only God is holy. So holiness is the unique quality of godness. So you look at him saying, God, 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 holy, holy,
yeah,
holy.
Yeah.
Nothing else will describe him.
So it's sort of like the source of all other adjatives. And like all of the things can kind of derivative of that. So you don't really have a word for it. It's just,
yeah, what's
holy.
Unique about God? Because everything else is reflect. What's unique about God? It's his holiness. It's the godness of God. And that's, yeah, why Revelation, the heavenly court, we have the same thing. Holy, holy, holy is naturally what you cry. How do you describe what I'm seeing? Just holy. It's so godlike.
Yeah. So holy means godlike, basically.
What means the essence of God. But it gets to be broader than that, because think of this, an analogy, it's not just to God himself. The Bible often applies it to people and to things. How are they holy? Well, think of a fire, right? A fire gives off light and heat. You know, so the fire is associated with light and heat, but anything close to the fire takes on those attributes. Those are attributes of fire. It produces, it generates light and heat, but anything close to the fire gets bright and warm. When I was a kid, I used to ice skate in the winter, and a lot. I mean, we'd go out, so it'd get so cold, your toes would numb, we'd go, and then we had this big warming house, you had this huge fire, and sometimes you get so close, your pants would burn, you know, you'd get so hot. So the idea is you get close to the fire, you can see. If you get close to the fire, you can feel the heat. And so anything that comes close to God takes on a reflection of that holiness. So, for example, we talk about things that belong to God or come close to him, like God's people are holy people because they belong to God. If God is holy, then like he says, you know, you have to be holy because I'm holy. You can't get near the fire and not get hot and bright. And, you know, he says to Moses, when you're getting on this, you're near the burning bush, you're on holy ground. You're getting really close. You're on holy ground. So it means things that either belong to God or have come close to him.
So our vocation to holiness as Christians just means something like getting closer and closer to God, getting closer and closer to that fire. So we take on more and more of that reflection.
Yes.
You know, I've heard that actually sometimes called sanctification. So, but which is another word. So how does holiness connect to sanctity or sanctification?
That's a really good question. And it comes something unique in the English language. A lot of people do not realize the English language of major modern languages has by far the largest vocabulary. Why would that be the case? You say, why would English have such a huge, and I'm not talking scientific terms. I'm talking about regular terms in common use, by far the largest vocabulary. And the reason is this. English is a Germanic language, and so Anglo-Saxons. The Anglos and Saxons are from northern Germany, so that's where they come from. However, when they had the Norman invasion, French took on a huge part in British society. So what they did is they basically kept English words and added French ones, which often became the more highfalutin terms.
Okay.
Yeah, more sophisticated terms. Kids learn back in school, for example, on a simple level, that what you called something in the barnyard was Anglo-Saxon. What you called it on the table became French. Sheep, which is very Anglo-Saxon, the French word for sheep is mouton, and guess what? It becomes mutton when it gets on your table.
Right.
A cow in English, a good Anglo-Saxon term, becomes, French, boeuf, becomes beef. A pig becomes porc.
Yeah.
You have that, but English has this double vocabulary system that for almost everything you have a fancy word typically coming from Latin through French, and you have the good old Anglo-Saxon word.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this, think of German, heilig means holy. So holy, heilig, it comes from Germanic, but the French had another word, comes from Latin sanctus, and in French that's saint, S-A-I-N-T, but the English pronounced it like it's spelled, sort of becomes saint. That's where the word saint comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And sanctifié in Latin, sanctificare rather, French sanctifié, becomes sanctify, to make holy. So we have two different words for holy. We have basically saint, or saintly are a French term from Latin, and we have holy from German. And so they mean exactly the same thing. To sanctify means to make holy. A saint is somebody's holy. It's a saint. Saint simply means a holy person.
Yeah. So sanctity is just
holiness.
maybe just what you would say, when you're holding your pinky out from your teacup. But holy, sanctity, really the same thing.
Same thing. Exactly.
Got it.
Once, and we just use them. We don't have a word to say make holy because we use the word sanctify. But sanctify simply means, we could drop all of that and would simply mean the saints would be the holy people. The holy ones. And to sanctify is to holify, to make holy. That's all it means.
Yeah. Okay. So we see this come up. We see this term or this concept come up in scripture quite a lot, right? I mean, it's to describe Christians.
Well, this is how Christians describe themselves. Overwhelmingly, how Christians describe their faith is the way. And they didn't describe themselves as Christians, as other people did in Antioch. They described themselves as the saints, the holy ones. Because the great things about them, where they think of what describes Christians, is they're holy because they become God's dwelling place. And we say we're the temples of the Holy Spirit. Well, how much holier can you get? That's like being the fireplace. You don't get warmer and lighter than the fireplace.
Yeah.
If you're holding the fire, that's about as warm and light as it gets without being the fire. So we're God's own possession. Right, we have that, this God's sign upon us.
Yeah.
God's, so because we're his dwelling place and his possession, we are holy. And that's why the term is used, by the way, many times to describe just regular Christians. We tend to think of saints as people, first qualification is be dead. sort of dead and famous. But actually, these were run-of-the-mill people. Everybody who was in the Lord was a holy person. They shared in God's holiness. So like in eight times in the book of Romans, it says, to those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, called to be holy, simply holy people, called to be holy people, to share God's qualities. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Contribute to the needs of the saints. It keeps going on. You can imagine there are eight different references, and they're all about regular people. But that's what you call a Christian. A Christian was someone who had been made holy through what Christ did, because his blood washed in the blood of the Lamb. They were holy. They shared in that characteristic of God.
So even just as a designator, it's like the ones who have been sanctified, the ones who have been made holy. So it's almost as an identity marker. Yeah. It's about what has been done through
Christ.
Right,
you've been made holy in your baptism. Yeah. You've turned away and you've been made holy. And I love that it's a passive because God's doing it. God is the one who makes us holy. That's what sanctification is.
Yeah, yeah. So, but there's also, it's not just a spoken of in a passive way, but in the scriptures, you also see, you know, the command, you know, like be holy.
Be holy, right. Well, God is the one who sanctifies. But be holy is we have to act in a way that's consistent with being close to God. Be holy because I'm holy. For it's like this. You know, if you tend fires, for example, if you're a firefighter, mm-hmm. you probably don't want to wear paper clothes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is not a plan. And so simply saying there's a danger being... Remember, one of the things we have in the Old Testament is holiness, like fire. It's wonderful if it gives you warmth and light. But you get too close to fire, you get burned. So remember that people... remember when Aaron's sons bring incense to God uninvited on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, their fire breaks out on them. You know, what was it? Whoa, 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 get your shoes off. You're on holy ground. We know that anyone who came near the mountain, Sinai, when Moses was receiving the law, he said, we'll be stoned. I mean, you can't go there. It's holy. So the holiness means it's a sense of healthy respect for God. You know, God is loving, but he's someone you really have respect for.
So the holiness of God is something to be feared in a good way.
In a good way. I like to tell the comparison is my father, blessed memory, came from a generation where they could do everything. I mean, he could do plumbing, he could do electricity, he could do carpet, he could do it all. My two grandfathers built their own houses. I mean, literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could do everything. But, you know, he was really good, but he had a healthy, like we say, fear of the Lord, fear of electricity in a sense. He wasn't afraid of it. He loved working with it, but he said, you know, you can't take any shortcuts with electricity.
Yeah.
No shortcuts. I mean, electricity has to be respected because you can get hurt. Yeah. Electricity could get hurt if you're working through electrical work. If you don't do the basic things, turn off the electricity.
Yeah.
Things
yeah,
like this.
Yeah.
And so it's like God, he's wonderful in things, but he's not to be trifled with.
Mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm.
is holy. And he says to be around him, you can't, again, you can't wear paper clothes around a fire. You just can't. You know, you cannot approach God in unholiness. You know, the holiness will have a detrimental effect upon you. Remember, he says with the mm-hmm. Lord's Supper, he says when we're taking it, we participate. He says the body and blood of the Lord. He said, but if you take it unworthily, he said you're eating condemnation to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you reach out for that Ark of the Covenant, you're going to get slain.
Right, right. Yeah, and we just talked a bit about about what it means to receive the Eucharist unworthily. Mm-hmm. Listeners might go and check that out. I wanted to ask you though, Father Stephen, about, you know, so there is this, the sanctification is what God does.
Yes.
And then being holy in the sense that we're acting or reacting, I guess, appropriately to God's holiness. How do you suggest Christians or believers, you know, tend to that admonition?
Well, it's the work of God. But I think the way is our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount put it perfectly, of course. He said, you will be perfect, complete, as your Father is mm-hmm. complete. It means that holiness is taking on the qualities of God. You know, it's like this. A beautiful way to look at it is in Ephesians 5 or something, Ephesians 5:1, I think, rather. It says, be imitators of God as beloved children. And why I want to emphasize that, interesting thing here is, why does he say as children? Because here's the point Paul's making that we might miss with the imitators as children. You see, normally when you're a kid and you can play all, you can be a space alien, you can be all sorts of things. When you play, you can be anything you want to be, even crazy stuff, okay? However, when a little boy plays, he's working in the workshop because his dad works in the workshop, or he's doing whatever mom's, you know, doing errands, a little girl or something. The point is, they're playing, but it's different because they're actually practicing to grow up. This is really, you know, they're not trying to pretend something they will be. They will actually grow up and be a grown man, a grown woman.
Yeah.
So it's a different type of imitation. That's really what they are. I mean, little boys and little girls become grown men and grown women. And so the fact is they're not playing. It's not like playing your space alien to play. You're driving a car, you know, or you're doing the getting the groceries or mowing the lawn, even, you know, with your little toy mower, because you really will be doing those things when you grow up. And so he's saying we were creating the image of God, like the form of God, I think of Aristotle or something. That's what we're growing into. You know, we're being into that. And so holiness means we grow more and more. It's like we say, my favorite verse in the scripture is 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it says, you know, as we look at his image, we're being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. So like Jesus says, you have to be perfect like your father. You mean you have to behave like he does. You have to basically take it, which is in our, you know, you have to be like God is. How does God deal with people? He sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He doesn't wait for reactions. His good is universal. His love extends to all. That's why we love our enemies. We don't hate them. We don't make those distinctions in giving love.
Yeah. Well, that's a helpful way of putting it, because, you know, the whole, that I feel like that word holy or holiness or being holy has, you know, gotten kind of a bad rap with that. I think it can just automatically mean something like, you know, needlessly judgmental or looking down
at all
other people.
Matter of fact, judging is something that we wouldn't be doing. Another way to look at the saints talk about, if you look at patristic literature and things, is saying, you know, you have to get ready, something to go into the fire has to be readied for it. You know, certain things, if you have certain things on a pot, you don't scrub them off, they'll catch fire. If you put in a real fire, they're going to catch fire. And so saying, unless you're prepared, if you come unprepared to the fire will destroy. You have to be prepared, and God's doing this. He's preparing us. I think C.S. Lewis is one who took the old saw that, you know, in heaven, maybe heaven is the same place, heaven and hell are the same place. It depends on whether we're ready for it. You know, that to have the vision of God when God has prepared us for it is a beautiful, glorious thing. It's sort of like opening your eyes or something. If you've been gradually, your eyes have already been adjusted, you know, to light. When you open the door and see light, they won't be hurt. But, you know, if you come out of complete darkness into blinding light, you're blind and it hurts.
Right.
So in a sense, it's like basically getting us used to the light. You know, we have to get used to the light. To go from complete darkness to super bright light is painful and blinding. Whereas if we gradually get our eyes ready, then we'll be ready to fully appreciate it.
Well, that's great. Do you have anything else for us on holiness, Father Stephen?
Yeah, I love the idea that, you know, again, people would think, how do I become holy? And the answer is so straightforward. It's this. It's basically, if you're cold and need light, like I used to do camping and do a lot of hiking and camping trips. You know, I'd like to do hiking with a buddy of mine. We'd take camping trips to do it. And you know, at night, I like to read or something. You have a fire. If you're cold or if you want light, you get close to the fire. The point is very often people's, how do I get a better life relationship with God? Which is holiness, is get closer to God. It comes from prayer. There is no holiness. It's not something that's a personal project. You will automatically take on holiness if you're spending time with God. That's what happened to Moses. Moses didn't say, how can I get my face to be bright today? It's basically, if you spend time with God, people will know it. That's what Teresa says. Yeah. People, you'll be transformed by prayer. If you're not, it means you're not with God. But if you're with God, it'll show. I mean, it'll come through. And so that's what holiness is the answer to holiness. It's not a personal project. It's if you spend time with the living God, if you start seeing what he sees and loving what he loves, suddenly you'll be transformed. You'll be taking on that light and that warmth.
Well, thanks so much, Father Stephen. Thank you for listening to Word and Table. We'll be back again next week for more on liturgy, sacrament, and the great tradition of Christian worship. Thanks for listening.